Copa MX Network production.
This is the Rocky Mountain ATV MC Kiefer Tested Podcast, the podcast you come to for the straight insight on all things moto-centric. Hard parts, bikes, gear, suspension, motor mods, and more. It's Kiefer Tested. Here he is, Chris Kiefer.
Howdy ho, everybody. Welcome in to the one and only Rocky Mountain ATVMC.com Kiefer Tested Podcast presented by FXR Racing and REP Suspension. How are you guys doing out there today? Lovely to be back in the high desert of Southern California. I was back east for a little over a week enjoying the fine weather that Georgia had to offer, as well as the great dirt that the East Coast provides for us over here that like to test and ride dirt bikes. Man, what a trip. Makes me want to move back there full time, but just can't seem to do that at this point. But nonetheless, this show, we're going to talk about the 2024 KTM 450 SXF Factory Edition, some of the things that I've learned while I was riding last week, and just give you an update and some baseline settings on your new Factory Edition if you have one. A la East Coast Edish. That's right. We did the gas here at Glen Helen. I've kept the Factory Edition KTM back east. So we're going to give you an East Coast little tidbit on the Factory Edition and give you guys some information on what it's like to ride back there, as well as some settings if you live in some deep dirt conditions. But let's pay some bills, shall we? RockyMountainATVMC.com is the trusted online source for parts, accessories, gear for dirt bikes, side-by-sides, ATVs, street bikes, spiders, whatever you have, go to RockyMountainATVMC.com. But before you do that, you know what to do. Simply go to my website, KieferIncTesting.com. Click on the only banner that is on my site, and that leads you back to their site. Just continue to do your shopping, whatever it is, put it in the cart, shop, deliver to your house, and that gives us a snippet, a slice of what you're purchasing, and helps us out tremendously over here and lets these guys know that you like this show and it keeps this thing up and moving and lets me talk about dirt bikes to you guys a little bit more. So thank you for the people that actually have been doing that. We appreciate it. If you want to go get some gear, please go get FXR Racing, and you can do that over at their website, fxrracing.com. Use the code KKMX35. That's 35% off gear. If you want to get a 6D FXR branded lid, that's KKMX6D. That's the code to save over there. And if you're a lady, special code I'm not going to give out here, email me you and your motorcycle ripping around, and I'll get you a lady code that's better than the dudes and make you guys, or ladies, look better than the guys. Helium, Revo lines, lots of stuff coming down the pipe. I just saw a glimpse of the 25 gear that should be dropping later on this year. That looks tasty. Can't wait for that to come out. Sometimes these guys show me things that are coming down the pipe and I want it now. And then I end up thinking about it for 3 to 4 days and it makes me upset. Nonetheless, I was upset because I'd want to get in the stuff now. And maybe, just maybe, we will have a Kiefer Inc. 2.0 set of gear coming down the pipe later this summer. I'm excited. Hopefully I can talk about more about that later on. But nonetheless, fxrracing.com. Use the codes. Save yourself some money. And I use this guy's suspension back east on the KTM REP suspension. Mark and the guys do great work, especially on the Austrian brands. I use the code KKREP if you want to save some money on a revalve. Mark probably knows this air fork as well as cone valve and 6500 inserts more than anybody that I know. And he has some really good settings. We're going to talk about the cone valve fork a little bit today on this show. But if you want to get your stuff done, he does have other settings for Japanese bikes as well. I've ran it on the KX currently on there right now, as well as the YZ450. So any bikes that you have or maybe that you want to get a little bit more comfort with, hit up repsuspension.com. Use that code or just simply call down there and ask questions. And Chelsea, Mark, and the crew will dial you in and get you a better motorcycle so you can enjoy yourself. And, of course, 2024 wouldn't be the same without all these guys right here. Power Motorsports, if you want a new KTM, because new KTMs are coming next month, 2-3 weeks. 2025s are here already. Holy shit. Also, there is a cool little thing going on with GasGas, if you, even though Power Motorsports doesn't have GasGas. But if you're looking to get a GasGas, GasGas is offering the customer, if you buy one of their motorcycles, say like you want to buy a factory edition GasGas, you get a free e-bike. Are you serious? You get a free e-bike. Crazy. So it's the lower edition e-bike, but if you want to ramp up and say, hey, I want the top of the line e-bike, they just you just pay the price difference from the lower end to the upper end. But nonetheless, you buy a GasGas motorcycle, you get a free e-bike. That's pretty sick. So KTMs, Yamahas, Kawasaki's, go to Power Motorsports. If you want to get a hold of them, email me. I'll get you a hold of David, get you the best Kiefer Inc. deal price. Works Connection, Kiefer 20 is the code to save over there. 6D Helmets, Kiefer 24 is the code to save over at 6D Helmets. ATR2, ATR2, that's right, or ATR1. Best helmets out there right now. Dunlop Motorsports, screenprintingdun.com. Get a shirt. Go to bachelor party, bachelorette. You just want a cool shirts made. Neil does great work. And you get some free shirts when you order over 24. So 10 free shirts, 12 free shirts, over 24. Can't beat it. Screenprintingdun.com. Decal Works, official decals and graphics and numbers of Kiefer Inc. testing. Alpine Stars, Tech 10 is my my goggle. My boots that I wear. Love them. Tech 7s if I'm doing a long test day, light on my knees, on my legs, so I like that. Oakley, that's the best goggle made, Airbrake. If you haven't worn one, try one. You'll never go back. Trust me on that. ETS Racing Fuels, we talked about all this fuel problems going on right now. If you're looking for some good racing fuels, go to etsracingfuels.com. Use the code Kiefer Inc. if you want some fuel delivered. That'll save you a good chunk of change on some racing fuel delivered to you. And, of course, Renthal Wednesday. If whenever you listen to this, if you're this week or right now, but this week there will be a huge article on pulpmx.com as well as my website about optional handlebar bends to put on your motorcycle, which ones is the best. Spent many nights in the shop in the garage with several different dudes measuring up handlebars, which ones feels best, going riding these bars. So if you like Renthal bars, go check out that article and then just look up your bike and that will give you the bend that I think will work the best for your height, riding style, ability. And there's some optional bends as well as some bar mount heights suggested for you guys there. So it's just a huge article about handlebars and Renthal and fat bars. So I didn't put anything twin wall related. It's all fat bars because that's the bar I run and I like the most. So go check that out over on Pulp MX or my website. Maxima, Kiefer Inc. 24 is the code to save over at Maxima. Anything over there is great. Sprays, oils, all of that. Kiefer Inc. 24. And of course, you want to go race with guys over the age of 30, have longer motos, and have a good time. InternationalVetMotocross.com, sponsored by Power Motorsports. Oregon, Idaho, Washington, California, Arizona. They do all kinds of races, and it's a great series. INTLVetMX.com. All right. 8 minutes of reads. You guys yell at me at that, but that's what we do here. We got to pay some bills and give you some information. So, yes, like I said at the top of the show, I went back east. Obviously, Aiden, my son, is training with Mike Brown, so he lives back in Georgia, obviously training Jalik Swole and then some of the guys over there at Triumph. So Aiden gets to ride with those guys, which is good for Aiden. And so I said, you know what, why not tag along myself and get some training in as well as some quality time with the KTM Factory Edition. So we spent a little over a week there, went to Alabama, Monster Mountain. We rode at the facility at Triumph, went to Etchikani, did all these things. Actually, I spent some time at Etchikani the previous time I was there. So I have total about four tracks, actually pretty different tracks too, terrain. Spent some time at the Factory Edition, with the Factory Edition, and learned a lot. Did a YouTube video. If you want to check this podcast out in a shorter format via video, I try to do some updates over on my YouTube channel. KKiefer165 is the YouTube channel. You can check it out. It's like a 10-minute video, just quick walk around the things. But I thought, do a podcast, a little bit more in-depth, tell you what I felt, the time that we spent back east as well, and just give you some more information if you're looking to buy a factory edition. So, yeah, back east for me, I don't feel like there's enough content in the media testing world that goes back east. Obviously, all of us are based out here in Southern California. Most of the time, these other media outlets don't really go back east because they're busy with other stuff. They don't have staff back east, but I'm a one-man band here, so I get to kind of do what I want to do, and I just feel like, hey, some of these bikes that we do settings on, that we talk about to you guys on the videos, just gets old. I mean, I get tired of being at Glen Helen. I get tired of being at Paula. I get tired of being at these local tracks day in and day out. When I open up these videos on RacerX, I go, hey, welcome to Glen Helen. I'm just like, fuck, man. I'm here at Glen Helen again. Don't get me wrong. I love it, and I love Glen Helen, but at some point, it just gets old, and I'm sure it gets old for you guys out there watching the shit, because if I'm feeling it, I know you guys are feeling it, and if you're anywhere else other than Southern California, maybe you feel neglected, like, hey, what about us out here in the Midwest, the Northeast, or whatever. So not that I can be everywhere in America to give you guys settings, but I was like, you know what? We don't get enough of videos and content and baseline settings for suspension on softer dirt, better dirt. If you guys are anywhere, you know, east of Texas or even in Texas, you know, East Texas, you guys have great dirt. And I talk about great dirt as far as better than what we have here in Southern California. Look, I love the desert. I love the high desert. Probably more than a lot of things in my life. When you drive by here, if you have driven by on the 15 and you go through Hesperia and Victorville, you're like, holy shit, Kiefer, it looks like dog shit. I understand. But as far as riding dirt bikes, there's so much different terrain to ride. If I want to ride trails, if I want to ride sand, if I want to ride hard pack, whatever it is, I have all that from my house. And that's the reason why I live here, because of the testing that I do. And I live here because of my work, not because I really enjoy the area of the high des, just because it makes it super easy to ride dirt bikes from my house, all these different types of tracks. So I like that, and that's the reasons why I do that here. But I've been wanting to go back east more, so we're going to start migrating back there more to do more bikes. That's the plan. I'm probably not going to move there just because the industry is here in Southern California. You need to be here. The manufacturers are here. You need to go to all these events that are here. And if you're back east, you're going to miss out on a lot of that FaceTime with manufacturers. And I think you just need to be here for that. But I've worked my way a little bit back east and trying to build something back there. So when I go back there, I'll have a bike or two to ride at a time to get you more information for you East Coast riders. Because I've learned a lot in the past week or so just with this factory edition that I didn't learn when I had the gas here and we did this video out at Glen Helen. So, like I said, 8.4 hours, I mentioned this in the video, I put 8.4 hours on in 6 days. So, lots of riding, lots of things happened during this 8 hours or so, and lots of things I've learned. So, let's dive into it. So, again, went to Monster Mountain, probably the best track that I have ridden in the Southeast. I know some of you guys debate this, but it is a great, fun, flowy track with nice jumps, bigger jumps. You got a sand in the lower section. You got some hard pack clay in the upper section. There's a wide variety to feel a bike. You're on the edges of your tires. You're obviously in ruts, and there's square edge. So there's just a different type of just different types of terrain at Monster Mountain. And then you go to the Triumph facility that we ride. They have a couple tracks. One is a tighter track. One's a more flowy or jumpy track. The tighter track, you're on the edges of your tires a lot, and you're loading the suspension. And then as you're moving around area two on a lot of these corners, the corners raise up. So as you're rolling the throttle on area two, the fork wants to come back up on you. So it's more of a technical-based track with deep ruts and a clay-based dirt. So really good for testing, honestly, once you have enough guys to break it in. So we rode that a lot. And then, of course, Etchikani, sand, choppy. For you guys back there in the Southeast, you just had a two-day practice back there last weekend. And it's just choppy, sand, rough rollers. Good for chassis loading and feeling the suspension out. So nice variety within about an hour and a half from where we were based out of. So that was cool. And when I rode the KTM Factory Edition, it's bone stock. So air fork, stock shock, stock handlebars, everything. I had a set of cone valve forks that were revalved from Mark that I brought last time. Never really put them on, just rode the bike stock. And started out doing so during the week on this as well. So what I quickly found out about the factory edition is this, the stock fork is just way too soft for anything other than Southern California hardpack. I didn't really think the fork was that bad when I ride out here, but when I ride heavier dirt, higher loading situations, as well as jump faces that are sharper, which you guys seem to have back east more than we do in Southern California, it's just simply too soft. It's too low. I add air to it. I went up as high as 11.1. Really doesn't help hold up jump faces. It just makes the fork harsher than what it should be. So wasn't happy with that. So I was like, okay, found a baseline setting that I figured that was semi-decent for me at a couple of these tracks with the air fork, and then wrote those down. And then once I felt like I was happy with that, I was like, okay, I'm going to stick this spring fork cone valve on that Mark valved for me, I think last year. So a little bit older of a setting, more based around Southern California. Put that on. Immediately, way more front wheel traction. I actually can corner it. I was complaining, as well as Mike Brown, he rode this bike too a little bit. He was complaining about front end light feeling in corners, like you go to area two and it just feels like it wants to push and there wasn't a lot of weight on the front end. I didn't notice it as much as Mike, but once I stuck the cone valve fork on this bike, you immediately feel like there's more tire contact everywhere you go. So a little bit heavier front end feel, which is to be expected because the fork is heavier by 1.8 pounds or so. But just more traction for me, and there was more comfort. Although the setting that I was on was softer than I would like, it was still better than the air fork with the baseline setting. So more hold up, more comfort, more tire contact, and it made the bike feel a lot better immediately right away when I stuck the fork on. And that was with a stock shock. I never really matched it up with anything other than cranking and clickers and messing with high speed and rebound on the stock shock. Never really had a huge complaint with the stock shock ever, even though we go to some pro components at times. Honestly, I think you can get the stock shock valved as well as put a bladder kit in it, and it's fairly good. So you can go to a spring conversion and use the stock shock. So I found a baseline setting for that. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. But just for me right away, that's the first thing I noticed that I never really figured out while I was here in Southern California. I was like, hey guys, the air fork isn't bad. You can dial it in. There's some comfort there. But that's in a lot of high speed, choppy, low jump face type of tracks that we have here in Southern California. I think Paula has the steepest jumps that we have. And you just never really feel like you're low in the front end because the jump faces aren't that sharp. Well, quite frankly, back east, you have fun jumps. Safe, but they're steeper. And I don't know why Southern California kind of went away from that. We had some of that a few years ago, and now we just have these jumps that have been around for 20 years, and the lips are low, and they're just angled really shitty, and there's like sometimes they're double-lipped, and you just never really feel some of that low front-end feel that you do when you go to these softer tracks back east. Factory edition itself, as far as the engine, it comes with an Akrapovich muffler, which is a great muffler, one of the best quality made mufflers there is right now. You can run that thing 30, 40, 50 hours and not have it blow out. Muffler packing lasts. The way it looks is really nice, but I will tell you this. I've said this on many other shows. Akrapovich mufflers will smooth out most any bike that you have. So if you come in from a stock muffler, throw on a Akrapovich, you're going to have a smoother roll on throttle. It's not going to give you more low end. It's going to give you more mid range and more top, smooth out the low end. Hence the reason why I love it on a Yamaha YZ450, because it does that. Now you have an engine character that's already smooth from a KTM. You're adding to it. So this is one of the most friendliest 450 engines that I've been on ever. It's just easy to ride. I would like more bottom end, low end snap. So if you are a heavier guy or you ride really deep, soft conditions like I have over the week, past week, you might want some more. So one option for you is to go to an FMF slip on, which will give you some more of that snapback, or a stock muffler from a 24 will do that as well. But stock factory edition with the Nakropovich. It's just a smooth roll-on, easy power to manage. So if you're afraid of 450 power, this is a great engine to start on. I don't think it'll be too hard for you to ride. It is very manageable. Sure, it comes on really smooth, but actually pulls really far. It's just, it allows you to ride the bike harder. On all of these KTM podcasts that I've done, I've told you guys this many times on other year model KTMs. It's just easy to ride and invites you to twist the throttle on earlier and just makes you want to ride the bike faster. I like that, especially when some of these East Coast tracks are really rutty, hard to get in, and you got to find these ruts, and the ruts are long. There's not a lot of on-off jerkiness on the KTM. It's fairly smooth. I will say that when I go to roll the throttle on in some of these deep ruts, I want more pickup, so I'll end up flintstoning it with my leg in the rut. I'll try to dog paddle a little bit because I expect it to pick up sooner and quicker, and it doesn't. So I went into the CUO, the connectivity unit that KTM has. Very easy to use once you're connected, because once you connect once, it always remembers it. You just connect it, and you can move slide bar around. I talked about this on the Gas Gas show on Racer X. I turned my engine braking all the way down to 1, and then I cranked my throttle response up to 4 or 5, and that'll give you some more snap. I still would like more snap than what I got, but the engine braking feature makes the whole chassis a lot friendlier to ride when you're charging into corners. I have a less of engine braking feel, so less diving. It helps the fork if you're running a little bit softer setting, or if you're still running that AER stock fork and you haven't really had the money to get a spring conversion or valving or whatever, turn that engine braking down to 1, and it's much freer coming to corner, and it really help your fork. Actually, I didn't measure it, but coming on and off the track, turning the engine braking on 1 to 3, honestly, I noticed quite a bit of difference when I'm chopping the throttle hard. The front end does not dive as much. I would say an inch and a half of more holdup that you're getting when you turn the engine braking down to 1. So that is a great feature, and it actually does work. It's not a gimmicky thing that, I don't know. I'm not here to talk shit on the KX app, but that thing doesn't really do much. And the KTM app, as well as the YZ app, you actually can feel the changes that you're doing. So I like that. So it's not gimmicky to me. It actually does work. Now, I will say the throttle response feature isn't as noticeable as the engine braking. So you will get a little bit more touch, but you're not going to notice like, oh my God, I have all this front side now. It's way out of control. It's too much. It's never going to be too much. I feel like if you're at 3, you're at the stock range, you're like, hey man, I need more bottom end. You turn up to 5, I still think you're going to say, I think I still need more bottom end. It helps a little bit, but it's not going to be that drastic. Quick shift, I left those in the number 3. I don't have a problem shifting from 2nd to 3rd like I do on the KTM 250 side. Under load, the 450 shifts really nice, so I don't mind that. I don't really mess with launch control. I just never have. So for me, it's the throttle response and the engine braking feature that work the best, and I noticed a lot in softer conditions, more so than I have out here on the West Coast. So you guys have that feature when you buy the factory edition. Don't be scared to use it. Make sure you connect to your phone, download the app. Super easy to do. There is a little tutorial within the Gas Gas video that we did with Racer X, so you can check that out. But don't be afraid to use that app, because it really does work and it really does help. So I'm very happy with the KTM engine. I think the more I ride it, the more I appreciate how it delivers its power. Previous KTM years, I've had FMF full system 4.1, a Vortex ECU mapped by Chad at XPR, or Jamie, but I had more from Chad, and then some fuel, and it's a whole different machine. You have throttle response, you have bottom end, yet it keeps that linear smooth connectivity to the rear wheel. Unlike the Yamaha, where you have a shit ton of front side and you got to tame that son of a bitch down, this, you can gain some juice, right? Gain some low end, and yet still have that smooth linear feel. It's quite a beautiful thing. I don't know how many nights I've called Heather and said, oh, she, you know, you break down your day with your wife, right? How was your day? Oh, it was good. You know, da, da, da. How was your day? I had a good time riding. I think my lap times were good, you know, and I judge myself off of my kid, like how close I am to my kid. I was actually pretty close to Aiden with the KTM. And then what that does, it just makes my mind race, right? So then I'm thinking, man, should I ride this more on my own time? Should I race one of these things? You know, and then I just start overthinking everything. You know, I'm a tweaker when it comes to like, what should I race? Should I race a Cowie? Should I race a Yamaha? Should I race a KTM? But I'll tell you guys this, from a guy that rides all different types of bikes, there's only, how do I put this? There's only two bikes that make me real excited to ride. And it's always a KTM and a Yamaha. The Kawasaki this year has kind of been pushing me more that way. I'm not quite there yet on the Cowie. It's good. But the features of the Yamaha and the KTM give me, make me want to put more time on a motorcycle and ride. The Yamaha, because it has a lot of comfort, fun to ride because of the engine, and I could be lazier because of the engine. And then the KTM invites me because it's so easy to ride. It allows me to ride harder, which I think I'm actually faster on a KTM versus a Yamaha, but I'm leery on the chassis suspension side because there's not as much comfort with the KTM as there are on the Yamaha. So each one of these gives me a headache in a different way. And it's a good headache because now I'm thinking about dirt bikes. I want to go race one. I really want to try and go faster because my old ass still wants to improve, right? You're like, yeah, Kiefer, you're hanging on to nothing. I don't give a shit. I still want to be good at riding dirt bikes, and I want to beat some good guys when I go race. That part of me hasn't left. So while I'm testing, I'm thinking about what I want to race. So this KTM Factory Edition, as well as others, I haven't really had this feeling about a KTM in about 2 years. My 2022 KTM, I love that bike. Easy to ride. Chassis was better. 2324, I was like, man. Hard to ride out here in Southern California. It's fucking edgy, and it's lean angle's not great. Now with this new frame, it's gone in a better direction. It's not 22. I'm not 22 in love with it, but it split the difference. Now it's coming back to me a little bit. And now that I rode some good dirt, good tracks with some traction, this KTM really works good back east. So if you're looking for a bike that makes you want to ride, that is safe to ride, that is linear, this Factory Edition engine provides all of that. I would say when I'm riding these tracks back east with long ruts, tacky dirt, and you got to kind of tuck your feet in so you don't drag your toes in some of these deep ruts and then roll your throttle on in these corners, I think about the Yamaha when I'm on the KTM because I know how much fun I have on the Yamaha. So I'm thinking, okay, in this area, what would this Yamaha be like? And I always refer to, man, it would be a lot of bike in these areas because there's a lot of front side, a lot of snap, even though I'm smoothing my Yamaha out with the Vortex, it's still a lot of motorcycle. I look back at Loretta's. Getting in some of these lines and ruts and to ride that Yamaha, it's a fucking lot of motorcycle. The KTM doesn't feel like a lot of motorcycle when the track gets really rutty and technical. It feels like I can still be aggressive. Again, gives me a headache because then I think about it. Should I be riding one of these things? So there's a lot of great attributes to the new Factory Edition that I love. And this is what I was experiencing back east for this whole week. You know, it just makes me want to ride. Not only does the bike make me want to ride, but just riding back east in general makes me want to ride. I feel like I probably would get sick. And sick not as in like I'm sick of tracks. I would get sick because I would ride so much, my body would get torn down and I would never want to stop riding. So then I would just get sick and have Epstein-Barr and be fucked. So that's what my life would be like back east because I would love to ride every day back there. We rode damn near every day, even though I was sore as shit by the time I got on the plane to come back to Southern California. I still thought about riding the KTM. I still thought about riding the tracks. And that's what a good bike can do to me. I don't know if you guys are similar, but that's what those feelings can do. I can go back there on a Honda and not have any of those feelings when I get on a plane, just because I know that it's a lot of bike to ride and it's not as comfortable or as good. So I'm just trying to be transparent with you guys. Those two bikes are probably the most near and dear to my heart when I ride all these other bikes, man. Those are the two that stand out to me the most. And this new factory edition is really good on just the engine character and how well you can ride it. Hey, sorry to interrupt this Orange Brigade dish. We're going to talk about some commercials right now, some discount codes. So listen in. We'll be right back with the show.
Screenprintingdone.com.
My dream is the world's most powerful t-shirt.
Do you want to look good, but you ain't got the money?
Trying to get some t-shirts made?
Yeah, buddy.
Go to screenprintingdone.com.
This is a t-shirt.
You can get anything you want on that t-shirt.
I'm about to show you guys how y'all can look fly.
Your business name.
That's my business.
Your kid's name.
Oh, Billy.
Your favorite phrase, like, let's go, buddy, or free jailbirds.
I agree.
Anything at all. Screenprintingdone.com.
T-shirt printing business.
Mention Kiefer on your next order and get 10 free t-shirts.
That's what I'm talking about!
Screenprintingdone.com.
I know it's tough sometimes, guys. What engine oil should I run? What weight? Synthetic or non-synthetic? It's tough. But you guys, I've been running blood lubricants for about 2.5 years now. I've had great results. If you guys are looking for some great oil, the Barracuda Blood Series 1040 is what we run in all of our test bikes here. It's specifically formulated for the most brutal racing conditions on earth. Look, heat, high humidity, silt, mud, whatever you got, this Barracuda Blood 1040 can handle it. 1040 is a great weight for most motocross and off-road machines, even though maybe your owner's manual says run 530 or 1050. To me, 1040 is a great weight. Check it out, Barracuda Blood Series. It's been through Baja 1000, the 500, Mint 400, Vegas, Torino, all of our test bikes here. 100% synthetic oil. It's great stuff. You put it in, and I run about 2.5 engine hours. I take it out, and man, it still comes out pretty damn clean. So you can use the code Kiefer at checkout over at bloodlubricants.com. Save yourself 25% off a case of oil. They have all different kinds of stuff. They have suspension oils. They've got sprays, chain lubes, whatever it is for oil-related stuff for your off-road motorcycle. Check out bloodracing.com. Ride-engineering.com. You guys want to get some clamps, some bar mounts, some chain blocks, brake calipers. Adrian over there at Ride Engineering has a lot of quality parts. And if you use the code KT20, that'll save you 20% off what he offers over there. So that's ride-engineering.com. And he is not only the guy who tests the parts, I mean, I help him as well, but he also has an engineering degree. Holy crap. So go check them out, ride-engineering.com. Use the code KT20 to save some money. You guys out there thinking about buying a new 2024 YZ450F, 250F, and of course, they still make two strokes. The new YZ450F is narrower, more compact, and lighter. It's built to do one thing, go faster. 2024 YZ450F is unchanged, but it is a proven winner. Has won many shootouts, as well as the all-new 2024 YZ250F. That has won some shootouts as well. And it's all over at Power Motorsports. Go check them out. Get your new Yamaha from the number one Yamaha dealership in the USA. The pros at Power Motorsports in Sublimity, Oregon. Let them know you heard it here. That's right. The one and only Kiefer Tested Podcast. Call or text 503-769-8888 and ask for the power price. I don't even care where you're at in the USA, Maine, California, Florida, Washington. Just go visit them, powermotorsports.com, or hit me up, Chris at KieferIncTesting.com, and I'll get you in touch with the guys over there at Power and let you go rip around on your new scooter. So fun. Dress properly for your ride with a helmet, eye protection, riding jacket, or long sleeve shirt, long pants, gloves, and boots. Do not drink and ride. It is illegal and stupid. Thanks for hanging tight with me and listening to those commercials. We appreciate it. Doesn't go unnoticed. So here we are once again, Orange Brigade, East Coast, Factory Edition. On with the show. Is the chassis better back east? Yes, you can feel it. I don't notice the new chassis as much on the 250 side as I do the 450 side. So edge of tire comfort is better on the steel frame. A couple times when I was at the Triumph facility and riding with Mike and the guys, and I was leaning into corners and it was getting baked and hard pack. I couldn't push on the older frame because it was edgy and I didn't have as much traction. I have more traction when the track goes to shit and a little bit more hard packed, and you got these hard packed bumps within these ruts. The factory edition frame is friendlier. I worked on some torque settings from the engine mounts as well as a swing arm pivot on the new factory edition that I'll put up on baseline settings on my website here soon. I'm still kind of working through that a little bit, but that will be up. But nonetheless, man, the factory edition frame can be felt. It just, with a 450, it just can be felt more than you can with a 250 side. Maybe because of the inertia, the weight, and things like that. But it looks like the KTM group is going a different direction with the frame, maybe continuing on through 26, 27. So that'll be better. So I think we're going the right way. I don't have as many as complaints with the chassis and the rigidity as I do on with the 24.5 versus the 24. So there is a plus. So if you guys are going to email and say, hey, what should I do? Is it worth $2,300, the difference? I know there's a shit ton of rebates right now on a 24, and you maybe could save $3,000 to $4,000. Look, if you're not a picky rider and you don't know what the hell I'm talking about when I mention these things on this podcast, then go with the 24, because you're not going to be able to feel the difference. But if you plan on racing and you're going to have this bike for a little while, 2-3 years, and you're not going to be the type of rider that flips a bike every year, then for me, that $3,000 or so is worth it for me going the factory edition. One, because you're getting a good triple clamp. That's something that you're going to need. Even if you go to a 24 KTM 450, that triple clamp will give you more front end traction and it has more comfort. You're getting that Akrapovic muffler, which is a better muffler, longer lasting. It looks bitchin'. You're getting an orange frame. There's a lot of features within this factory edition that I like that is better. A little bit stronger of a wheel. You're still going to have to check spokes, especially near the rim lock, because they will back out. We're going to talk about some of the things that happened to me here in a minute. But I think it's dependent on what type of rider you are. You're just a local guy that likes to ride once a month. No problem. Save yourself some money. Grab a 24. Have fun. You're not going to feel as much rigidity difference as me. Some of you guys listen to the show, and maybe I fuck you up more than I help you because I talk about all these little things that I feel, and then you're thinking, oh, I'm going to feel those things too. Well, I'm not saying everyone's going to feel what I feel, but I'm letting you know if you're somewhat picky and you are going to keep a motorcycle for a longer period of time and you have the money, you might as well go the route of the factory edition, just because you will be happier in the long run. And let's face it, when I wash this thing down after a muddy day or whatever, and I, you know, get it spruced up for the next day, thing's sexy looking, man. There's no better looking machine to me than a factory edition KTM. Not a Husqvarna, not a GasGas, not a Works edition. For me, like, the orange frame is just sexy. It's awesome looking, and it looks nice. So yes, the chassis is better. Even on the East Coast, you can feel the difference. I would change handlebars. I don't mind the bend so much. I would like a little bit of a taller bend. It's pretty flat, but the neck and bar stock is pretty stiff, so you can gain a little bit more comfort going to a Renthal Fat Bar or a Pro Taper Evo if you can find them. But nonetheless, I'm going to switch to a Renthal 672 bend, cut down to 802. And my personal preference would be get rid of those lock-on grips, ZRT throttle, unbelievable feel, great feeling throttle, buttery smooth, and yeah, put some Renthal half-waffle grips soft and then live your life, and you're good. The seat will break down, so my, I don't know, I talk about this sometimes. My recommendation to you is take the seat off, try to make some type of cover or duct tape over your electrical, and spray off your bike if you're washing it. That seat will break down over time. Don't quote me on this pronunciation. Sella della Valle is the seat on the factory edition, which is very grippy. Will eat your ass up a little bit. Not as bad as the Husqvarna seat. But nonetheless, the foam will get soft. And it'll just break down. So that's why I take the seat off when I wash, because the moisture will wick through that seat cover. Or you can go see Concepts, Guts Racing, get a closed cell foam, and you don't have to worry about it and just leave it on or whatever. But I like the all-orange seat. I think that's good. But nonetheless, the cockpit itself is very nice. No problem with the six-foot, you know, rider triangle. I think that is okay. You get used to it quite a bit. Honestly, when I go back to the Yamaha, when I'm coming off of a Kawasaki or even a KTM, the Yamaha feels very foreign to me and weird. Takes me a little while to get used to the Yamaha. Going from another brand to the KTM doesn't feel weird. It's really easy to get used to. So not a huge deal for me. Things that I've encountered the last week on the East Coast that have gone wrong on the factory edition. You can see this on the YouTube channel. Nuts and bolts back out on this factory edition. This bike vibrates more than other Japanese bikes besides the Kawasaki KX450. The 24KX vibrates more than the KTM, but in the land of all the bikes, the steel frame bikes vibrate more. Going to a different handlebar will help you with less vibration, so you can do that. That will help. But it might take you a little while to get used to that vibration if you're coming off of another Japanese brand. Might take you a day or two, but once you ride your KTM, by the second day, I didn't really notice vibration anymore. I got home and started riding again on other brands already, and I was like, oh shit, KTM does vibrate a lot. So that's the only bike you have. This is not going to matter to you. But if you're coming off of a brand, getting on it, that will matter to you. So you will have to check your nut and bolt everywhere you go. Engine mounts, bolts will back out. Swing arm pivot nut will back out. I had a linkage bolt that goes through the swing arm clean out. I never even checked it. Third day, I was looking around, washing the bike. Nut's gone. Just gone. So that will back out. Axle nuts, not going to fall off, but they will loosen up. Spoke will loosen up. Spokes. I was going to say spoke near the rim lock, but there's actually two or three near the rim lock that will loosen up. What else? So there's the frame guards that come on the KTM factory edition. The left side frame guard, there's a bolt that goes through by the swing arm pivot. That falls out. The Akrapovic insert bolt, clean out. I lost the insert. If you go onto my GoPro video that I have up on my YouTube from Monster Mountain, that sound, that's without insert. So my recommendation is, you're going to spend 14 grand, right? Obviously, I didn't do this. Go over everything, blue Loctite the shit out of your bike, and you should be okay. Torque these things down to at least the recommended torque specs until I give you some other torque specs to try. But blue Loctite, check your bolts, but every ride, check your sprocket bolts and your spokes on these KTMs. They will back out. Blue Loctite or not. Especially the sprocket bolts. Check that. That is a dangerous situation, and it's something you don't want to happen over a jump. It's one of the things I drive home to my kid every time he's riding, especially back east. Heavier dirt, more shit loosens up out here. You got to be on top of your game, and especially on the KTM factory edition side. You got to be on top of it. So I lost the linkage bolt. I lost the bolt that goes through the frame guard. My swing arm pivot nut backed out a little bit. If you have those frame guards on and you keep them on, you won't even know that nut is backing out because that frame guard protects that nut. I didn't know it was backed out because never looked under the frame guard, right? Luckily, that bolt to the frame guard backed out and it was flapping, and I was like, oh shit, I lost the bolt here. And I looked up underneath the frame guard and there the nuts backed out. So you got to check that. Acerbis makes frame guards as well. You can look at them, but I don't mind the frame guards. I keep them on. If not, you use grip tape. I know Anchor Tape has some grip tape. If you like that, they make really good grip tape that sticks and lasts more than one ride. Insert bolt. Luckily, there's a little grommet, rubber grommet, that's at under the bottom of the muffler that keeps that bolt in place even though your insert gets pushed out. So luckily that bolt was still there when I went to go search around for my insert, which I found on the track, and then proceeded to blue Loctite the bolt, stuck it back on, lasted a day, the fucker blew right out again. I don't know. I guess I got to go red or green. I'm going to weld the fucker on. So you guys asking me, Kiefer, what about the insert out? Is it going to, says leave the insert out? More bottom in is louder. It's nice. No. Okay. Insert in will make the bike run better. Sure. Insert out, wah, wah, might get a little bit more throttle response, but you're losing a little bit of mid-range. It gets flatter. So you don't like it. I don't need a screen. I'm not an off-road rider, Kiefer. Cut the screen off. Insert back in. Red Loctite that bolt. Boom, bam, boom. You should be okay. I didn't. Novice mechanic, lame guy over here, just ran the shit out of it all week. And I suffered, right? Because these bolts are backing out. So nonetheless, check your bolts on your new $14,000 motorcycle. You won't curse at it. You won't yell at it. You'll come home to your wife in a better mood. So I just think about you guys sometimes when I'm riding these bikes and some of this shit happens. I'm like, dude, if I spent $14,000 on this bike, I'd be pissed. Because I don't want this thing. Also, another thing that kind of gripe me a little bit, the right side cover, not the clutch cover, the cover behind that cover, there was oil leaking. I was noticing some oil on my frame, and I'm like, what in the hell is this shit? Did I crack a case? But from inspection, it looked like the gasket got torn or something on assembly, and it was leaking, seeping through that right cover. I had KTM ship me out a gasket, and it's fine now. But again, $14,000, why is it leaking? I shouldn't have to go buy a gasket, but that's the kind of shit that I encountered back east that I didn't encounter back here. So I don't know if it's the dirt, the conditions, or whatever, or it's just coincidence. But nonetheless, those things arose. I mentioned that on my YouTube. So be on the lookout for that. The bike comes with MX34 tires. I don't mind the rear tire. I don't mind the front tire. MX33 front tire I did not like. So I still prefer MX3S a little bit on the front tire over the 34. So those are available. You can buy those. I actually got confirmation. A lot of these, like Rocky Mountain and Chaparral and Motorsport, they do have them in stock. So go check that out. MX3S will help you in softer conditions. For me, it's a better tire in soft conditions. Now, the MX34 front will be a little bit better when the track goes to shit. This is what I've noticed when I was back there. It's like I had an MX3S. I tried it much better in the softer, earlier conditions. But when the track kind of baked at 2 p.m. and you got these hard pack ruts or you're not really banking off anything, the 34 actually holds up a little bit better on lean angle under hard pack than the 3S. So that's good news. I'm glad that I'm not bitching about a front tire as much as I was when the 33 was around. So that is nice. But overall, it was a nice week living back east, riding a KTM, riding a bike that I actually enjoyed. I was kind of scared being back there all week riding my kid because me and my kid getting these motos and we start pushing. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to ride this thing that fast, stock suspension. It's not something that I'm really used to. But honestly, after a day, I was like, man, this bike is really fun to ride, really easy. Had no problems with the clutch. I know if I was on my Yamaha YZ450 back there, I'd have to put a clutch fibers in that thing because I would have toasted the clutch. The clutch lasted all the motos. I like that. And overall, just, yeah, it's a reliable machine minus the bolts and that little oil leak that I had. I didn't have to worry about it. I changed the oil and rode it, and it's been great. Total hours on things close to 15 hours. Obviously, it's not that much. So, of course,
Kiefer, reliability, of course, is going to be fine.
Well, I've had the bike 60 hours before, and it's been great. I didn't have to change the clutch until 32 hours, which is unheard of, so that is nice. Just make sure you got a spoke wrench on hand. You got some Torx bits because you're going to need those sons of bitches for this bike. And other than that, 70 millimeters on your chain slack. You guys are tripping balls over this. 65 to 70. If you, look, it, I'm on the fence of 65. I think that's a little bit too tight. 68. If you think your chain's too loose, because you'll sit in the pits, you'll look at your bike, and your buddy's like, dude, your chain's loose, and you're going to have to defend yourself.
No, dude, there's no way. 70 millimeters, that's way too much.
Look it. Take the shock off if you want. You don't want to do that in the pits, but you want to move that swing arm up and down, move that thing up, it gets tight. So that's part of the problem sometimes when you're coming into corners on D-cell and you're loading that rear end or just hitting kickers on square edge on throttle. side-to-side movement, it's because of the chain tension, and it's binding up the rear end. And what that does, it gives you a side-to-side feel. It starts deflecting. So if you have a chain tension that's tighter than 65, you're in for a world of hurt. One, chain could break, not pretty. Two, your shock could feel like dog shit, and your KTM will feel harsh, and you think I'm a big asshole because I told you the KTM was good, and it feels like dog shit. Well, chain slack, chain tension is huge on this frame. Still is on the factory edition as well. So yes, that 65 to 70 millimeter mark is still key on a 250 as well as a 450 factory edition frame. Still there. So make sure that is dialed as well. If you have to get a measuring stick that have 70 millimeters, they make little blocks. I know Motion Pro makes little chain tension measurement blocks that you can say, hey, okay, 70 millimeter block, stick the chain up there near your swing arm pad. If it clears that, you're good. If it doesn't clear that pad, then it's too tight. So make sure you have the proper chain tension. I'm also working on swing arm pivot to center line of axle length. I found some stuff while I was back east that I'm not willing to share yet, but I found a measurement that's really going to help the deflection from side to side. So you might want to stand by for that. That's huge news for me because some of these guys in the world of supercross and motocross do not share that length. But for us consumer guys, I've been working on a consumer length that works for a wide range of guys. So look out on my website for overall swing arm pivot to centerline axle lengths. We're going to put that up not just for the KTM factory edition, but for all the bikes. Sometimes to get that length, you're going to have to change gearing. So that'll be available as well. But nonetheless, that is a point of concern, and that will help you guys on and off throttle hitting bumps. So that is that. Otherwise, that's it. I'm sad to be back home, honestly. Every time I come back to the high des, I get a little bit sad because I'm not riding as good as tracks as I want to be riding, and that's back east. So, yeah, now it's 100 degrees here, and it's going to be baked, and it's going to be dog shit. So I'll be back east soon, hopefully riding some more. I'm going to get a couple more bikes back there, and I'm going to do more of these shows as well as videos for you guys out there and give you some settings for your bike. So hopefully we can do that more. But let's give you some baseline settings before we wrap this thing up. If you guys have a factory edition and you want to look for the best stock fork and shock setting, this is for a 175 to 195, 200-pound rider. This will kind of get you in the ballpark. I tried 11 to 11.1 bar on the fork air pressure. Look, when you break in your bike, it'll be a little bit harsh. Again, we always talk about this 8-hour mark. It will get better after 8 hours, as well as the engine. It will get better. Things will start loosening up, seating. The forks will break in. So if you're north of 180, you're going to have to go up to at least 11 bar on this fork and then back out that compression to 15 clicks out. So 11 bar is a good point. I went to 11.1. It just gets harsher. You'll have a little bit more holdup, but not as much as I would want. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. So if you end up going stiffer to 11.4, the fork just gets really bouncy and harsh and deflective. Just go get a revalve. You're going to need it. You're going to have it, or your bike's going to feel like shit. So these manufacturers, I should say, just KTM in general, tries to sell you on this fork. Hey, there's so much adjustability. Well, there's really not. Sure, you can adjust it a little bit, but if you go past the point of no return, the fork's just going to work like dog shit. So 11.1 is about that mark. You can go up farther, and you may get more holdup, but everywhere else is going to feel bad. Slap down landings to your hands going to feel like shit. Initial bump touch will feel like shit. Deflection will feel like shit. So 11 bar is about the mark. So go to 11 bar, 15 clicks out. Rebound, I actually slowed it down a little bit. So I went to 14 clicks out. And then I ran my fork at the first line. Some of you guys, if you need a little bit more cornering ability, go to the second line. But first line for me, I like to drop my forks, get a little bit more stability out of this frame. The bike corners well already if you have a good front tire, which it already does. So if you do feel like that front end is a little light, like what Brownie was mentioning when we were talking about this on the show, go to the second line, and that will help you get a little bit more cornering, but you will hurt some straight line stability, just FYI. So hopefully you got those written down. And the shock settings, look, you're north of 180 pounds. You may need a little bit heavier shock spring. I'm stock 175 pounds, so this is for the stock spring. I'm 104 millimeters of sag. 1.5 turns out on high compression. I tried that, and then I was like, still feels a little ass in low. So 1 to 1.25 turns out on high compression. Low speed compression, I was at 12. And then rebound, I was at 14. That was basically where I was at. Linkages do help still. I know Mark and the guys had some settings that I would like to try. So we're going to work on some of that too on this frame. But right now, that is the shock settings and the fork settings where you need to be at. Again, my recommendation is put a fork spring on that thing, conversion, cone valve, whatever, 6500, KYB, whatever is your flavor. If it was me, I would probably go with a 6500 or a KYB and then a cone valve third. But once you do that, more front end traction, more comfort, better feel for me all the way around. If KTM just put a damn spring fork on their moto bikes, it'd be, that's it. I talked about this. It's game. That's a wrap. There's no other bike that's going to beat it. Just not. A little bit of a softer frame feel and then a spring fork. Sign me up, dude. Sign me the fuck up. I'll buy one right now. It's good that the off-road models are having a spring fork, but what about us moto guys? We don't want air. I bet you if you did a poll, how many KTM current KTM buyers said, yeah, keep air versus no, I want spring? What do you think is going to happen? Listen to your customers, KTM. Listen to your customers. Okay? Spring fork. It's what we want. Moto guys want spring fork. My son grew up with air forks, still wants spring fork when he goes to it. So I don't know why we're trying to change it. We're not mountain bike company. Look at the air technology. Sure, it's getting better. We're not supercross riders, so we don't need that whole, like, spring's fine. It's been great for years. Just keep that in there. All right, that wraps it up. Hopefully you guys have a great week and you got some information on this show. If not, go to my YouTube, KKiefer165. Please support the advertisers that support this show. They keep this thing up and moving. If you have any questions, you want to bitch at me, you want to talk about the East Coast, you want to talk about Kiefer, you're smoking crack, Monster Mountain isn't the best track in the Southeast, whatever. I'm willing to listen to a point, but if you have a reasonable question that I didn't answer that you need help with, I'm here. I'm here to help. Chris@KieferIncTesting.com is that door that's cracked open for you guys. You just kick it open and say, hey, Kiefer, how's it going? I'm like, hey, what's up? What do you need? And hopefully I can help you guys and get you down the road to a bike that you love, save some money a little bit, hopefully direct your money in the correct manner and not waste money. You don't need Kashima coatings. You don't need carbon fiber. You just need a bike that works. That's what we're trying to do over here. So thank you for joining me. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week on another episode, another show. We're going to break down some things as well as I cannot wait to race Mathis this week on a YZ85. I want to jack his ass up in his ass. Hell yeah. See you guys next week.